Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace today once again. Thank you, Father, for life. Not just for eternal life, Lord, for life that is real, life that is Zoe life, and the original life, the life that you create for man to live, to be with you, to fellowship with you as a family. So, Lord, we thank you for that life. And we are thankful, Lord, because you make it possible for man sin and fell from grace, that you make a way of escape from judgment, Lord, and return to you. And we are thankful for that you have provided us a propitiation and atonement, and that you have provided this as a gift in Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son, a redemption for all mankind, or for those that would believe. So, Father, we thank you now and for today that as you approach thy word once again. I pray, Father, Lord, you bless thy word as you are being faithful to it, Lord. Reveal it to us, open up to us, Lord, that we may understand who we are further and a greater understanding about ourselves, our mind, and our relationship with you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for today. Bless now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're now in our third part of our looking in deeply into the mind. And one of the most important things about the mind, when we talk about how that Luke says that we should love God with all our heart, Jesus said that actually, with all our heart, our soul, our body, and our mind, and our strength in and our mind. Now, when it comes to the mind, the ultimate target of God as to our mind, that we consider that, as Jesus said, to love him with all our mind. The ultimate target of God is our whole, it's the whole mind. It's not just the partial mind. It's not your partial of your thinking. Okay, I love God, you know, and then I reserve some part for myself. No. God wants you completely take that control of you. Alright, now, last week I finish off with that, and so I want to say a few more things regarding this mind. If we look at ourselves, we wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that we think of when we rise up, you know, from the bed? You know, I mean, being that, especially in the older one, when we get out of the bed, we just sit on the bed for a little while rather than get up quickly, you know, like when we're young. So when you get up the first thing in the morning, what is in your mind? Oh, well, maybe for me, like old folks, when you get up, then you find, you know, you have this side of because your body kind of stiff or what, old, creaky, you get up, this side, you know, that sort of thing. And then you'll begin to think about something, you know. But I love to know one thing now is when I get up, yes, I get up in the morning and says, oh, Lord, thank you. Not says, oh, Lord, what a problem my body is going through. Yeah, there are ways we all have these things that go through our mind. But the first thing nowadays, get up in the morning, when I get up and sit in my bed, is I just say, oh Lord, thank you for yet another day. I got up, I drink a glass of water that's on my bed, I always kept in the thermos, open my window, look out the window. If it's a beautiful sunny day, just praise the Lord. If it's a cloudy day, dark day, clouds going to come, it's coming and there's going to rain, just praise the Lord. And that's just been a good exercise for quite a long time now, because I believe that in beginning the day, just to glorify God, just to begin the day, just greet, good morning, Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful day. Rather than when I was young, yeah, I get up, yes, I need to go to work and go brush my teeth and things like that, you know. And then usually we pray at night, and rather than in the morning as well, we get up and greet the Father in heaven, you know. So let us, the first thing we want to do is fill the day with the presence of God by glorifying Him, by praising Him. Amen. Alright, that's just one thing that we should always remember on that. Okay, let's just go to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Alright. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8 to 10. You know, one of the things is that, as I said, we tend to be too focused on this life, right? Especially when you're young, when we are young, we get out in the morning, okay, rush to school, or when we are already working adults, or get in the morning, we just get up, and we hardly even say a prayer, or, you know, we just rush to the toilet and brush our teeth, bathroom and brush our teeth, and grab the breakfast, and then go to work. And the more that I think about what King David, and I think King David is a very good example, the more that you study about King David's, the song that he wrote, you know, and you look at the way his life is in the Bible, you realize from young, he has inculcated in himself, you know, disciplined himself, you know, with getting close to the Lord. From the moment he got up early in the morning until the night time. And so that kind of kept him. So even when he committed, you know, wicked thing, ungodly thing, his heart was filled with remorse, and God convicted him, and he's able to get straight back quickly to the Lord. And that is one of the things that we should do. Alright? So don't be too focused on our thoughts, and then trying to achieve what we want to achieve for the days and things like that. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8 to 10. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Alright. Here we have this record of John the Baptist rebuking the religious leader that came to him wanting to be baptized, but he saw the hypocrisy. Now, what is John saying here? When he said to them, you bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Now, here he mentioned about the fruit. Then the next verse, he's telling these religious, but don't think that because you can claim Abraham for your father, does not mean anything. For the axe is laid to the root. So now we have the fruit, we have the root, and in between your claim. Right. So, you see, here is this. I'm preaching, and I'm saying this to the Christian here who are listening in. Believers of the Word of God, we consider ourselves children of God. If we are, it's a good thing. But the thing is this, is that many times we can speak with our mouth and say, we are Christian. I am born again. I have Christ as my Savior. Or even as the end-time message, people say, we are not believers, I have the token. Because I believe Malachi 3, 4, 5, and 6, I believe Brother Abraham is this. I believe in the serpent seed, I baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, and I believe, you know, in one God, and so on and so on and so forth. All these may be judged a claim, like the religious people. We claim that we have Abraham as our father, you know, and that we are his seed. So God recognized who we are. Now remember one thing, you can claim whatever you want to. But John the Baptist, look at them. You bring forth fruit to show it. Because you see, what you claim is one thing. You must sow a fruit. But don't know that these people have no fruit. It's only a lot of talk. Because he said, why? The axe is laid to the root. Therefore, everything which is, do not bring forth, which bringeth not good fruit, is cut down and cast into the fire. The axe is laid to the root. So, if we look at our life as Christian now, I want you to examine ourselves. Maybe though I'm preaching about Christian and behavior and the deep thoughts, I want you to remember this. Apply this to yourself. Apply this to yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So now, here we have this mind. And when we are Christian, we are like a young child. You know, who is growing up, his mind is open up to a lot of things, being curious. And so when sometimes, you know, when Adam came back to Singapore, you know, I had him in my home, and I would study him, you know, I just enjoy the kids, how they behave. Now he was open up and he would look at things, and his mind is always trying to absorb. Right? I think, Rob, perhaps you're a child, you know. Now that Brother Luke is grown up, Sister Eunice already know that what he was like when he was young. And when I went out with Adam, I go out walking with him in the park. He will look around, you know. Like I told you one time, we went to this park, he went to look at this sand in the playground, and he looked like he never seen a sand before or something. He just touched it and took it and he put it in his mouth to taste it. You see, the mind is sort of absorbed to try to understand things. Now, as Christian, if our mind is like this, to look at the Word of God and try to absorb what it is, as the Bible says, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. So, we want to taste what the Word of God is. But you see, this mind here, they're also absorbing other information. As I said this before. So, if you, as a Christian, say that you are a Christian, that you have the Word of God, you're planted, you know, by the banks of the river of the Word of God, and yet, you're not producing the fruit that should be. Oh, you go to an orchard and you say it's apple. This is an apple tree. That's when Jesus went with the disciples one time and he sat down under a fig tree and there was no fruit. Of course, it was our season, but Jesus was trying to prove a point. But if the fruit tree is apple, it's not producing apple. Year after year, it's not producing apple. What happened? What is the use? What good is that tree? Nothing. It just takes up space. It's supposed to be a fruit tree, not just an ordinary tree that is just as in a forest. But this is an apple tree that's supposed to produce apple. So if it's not producing apple, what's it going to do with it? You cut down the tree. But what happened if the tree produced bad apple? So if you try to deal with just the fruit itself, you're not going to work. Because the problem is not the fruit. The problem is the root. You get what I'm saying? So, if we say that we are Christian, and our root is in the Word of God, then it should bring forth the kind of fruit that, you know, glorify Christ. But if it's not, then something is wrong. You cannot try to say, okay, I want to change my life, you know, I'll be good, I'll be doing this and that. But you know, you can say anything you want. It's not going to work. Because the problem is the root. So what then is the root? What then is the root then? That is why I told many of the believers, you know, when the congressman text me, I said, the problem is this, you don't spend time with the Lord, you don't spend time with the Word. So if you don't spend time with the Word, if you don't spend time with the Lord, how can you water the plant that you are? You are a tree, right? So how are you going to be watered? You must be watered by the Word of God. The Bible says, good water by the Word of God. You see? And you are built up and it's upon the rock of Christ, a solid rock. You know, in the cleft of the rock, you sing the song of Israel, in the cleft of the rock, when Moses was up there in the mountain, you know, and you know, we know what only the children of Israel, and the children of Israel were so full of murmuring, that one time when God told Moses to speak to the rock and bring forth the water, Moses struck the rock. So the law represents Christ, the water also represents that life. So the Word of God is our rock. As well as is the Spirit of the Word of God is the water that waters our life. So the problem is, remember this, it's the root and it's not the fruit. If the root is right, there's the right kind of root, then it brings for much fruit. Now, another thing about this is that remember when you, you know, I've been a Christian for, well, 60 plus years, 60 years or so now, you know, my roots should be very widespread. Because a plant, when you grow, right, its root will try to find its place to anchor. So, when you look at the tree, how big the tree branches, you know, the powers goes out, then you'll be able to see how you'll be, have an idea how much is, how big is the root, how much the root has spread out. You understand? So you cannot have a tiny little root going down and then the big branches of you know, trees and give you this big shape. It can't be. Because what you see is the balance on the bottom. You see? So, this is what it should be. So, our life can become more radiant, more closer to the Lord, because our root is strong in the Word. So, this is why we sing the song, draw me closer, closer, bless the Lord. And if you really want to, the closer you get to the Lord, surely, the Lord will cause you to grow in His grace. Alright? So, when we deal with sin here, it is not in the mind here. Again, there's the same thing, it's a fruit thing. So, when we deal with sin, we look at the thing that we, just like King David. You know, his mind was there looking at Bathsheba and lust after her. And he began to plan, he meditated and to plan how to get her. And he knows that he cannot take her for a wife because she has a living husband. So this meditation got him what he wanted. But the thing is that when after this was over, when Nathan the prophet came to him to give him that parables of the rich man's sheep and the poor man with one sheep, well, he was convicted to the heart. You see, the moment when he realized that, it's a sin. It's what he had done. The seed now is returning back to him. Says, what are you going to do with this? Your guilt. What are you going to do with it? Now, maybe take somebody else other than David. If he think about it when you tell him that it's wrong, and he realized that it's wrong, but that one thought, one realization, that he's recognizing that you are wrong. What do you do with it? You play with it in your mind. No, brush it aside. You know what I'm saying? And so we don't deal with sin in the mind. We deal with sin in the Word of God. Because when we look at sin in our mind, we can justify it. You realize one thing? Do you realize it? You can justify it. Now, I heard that on Friday, Brother Jimmy is telling me that he picked up $50. Right? Now, he picked up $50 in the elevator of the MRT. Yeah, okay. Nobody's around anybody. Okay, we don't know who that is. But if you found a wallet that has a whole lot of money in it, but he has an identity card in it, what would you do? Well, you count, oh my, there are 10 pieces of $100 note, that's $1,000. Right? Take it, keep it in the pocket, and then you see, like, I see there, oh, never mind, just threw it on the floor. And walk up. You got $1,000. You know what I'm saying? You see, when you come to that covetousness, it's a sin. It comes to something that you know it's wrong. This is a water that has an identity card that you can trace a person. Even though he has a lot of money, you don't have an identity card. At least this is a whole lot of money. You don't know who that is. Maybe he could go out to the MRT station and, you know, make a report there and, you know, fill a form and let them know, okay? So people with the $1,000 loss of wallet, $1,000 in the wallet that's lost, the person will definitely panic because there's a whole lot of money. You'll probably go back and trace, right? Go to your MRT's, you know, customer service and ask whether, you know, anybody hand in a wallet of so much money. But if it's a small sum of money, nobody could really think much about it. Because I have picked up $10 or $5 on the road, you know. Even though we have also lost some money sometime, you know. It's very common. You see, that's why You when you come to sin, you cannot deal with the mind. How to deal with sin in the mind? Now, the moment you realize sin is, it convicts in the heart. And you've got to take it to the Word of the Lord. And what does the Word of God tell you? What does the Word of God tell King David when Nathan, you know, brought him that parable? And when he realized what he had done. Not that King David didn't know. But sometimes there's a lot of suppression of the things we have done. And God, some, you know, usually when we commit sin, when we are covetous about certain things, we try to suppress it. Huh? Time and again when the Spirit of God, we try to suppress it. Yeah, some of you smiling. You suppress it. And God sometimes will have to take somebody or something to wake him up and see what you're going to do with it. So, the mind. So don't try to pluck your bad fruits away. You just can't. You've got to go straight to the Word of God. It's not the outward reform. It's you see, the mind deals with the external. Right? The thing we do, the thing we think about and all that. But when it comes to the whole being, God deals with the internal. Where does evil come from? Oh, we know the evil ones, we know, yeah. But when you do evil things, where does it come from? Remember, Jesus said that with the mouth, man speaks, right? That comes from the heart. You see, what comes from the mouth comes out from the heart, what we think, what is in the heart. That means deep within us. Not the mind thing. It's what's deep within us. Alright, so the evil thing is internal. We have to deal with it. It's spiritual thing. It's not the physical thing, the carnal thing on the outside, on the superficial at all. Alright, Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Alright, this same thing we read again, let's just read it. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Of course, we remember once again. So, just took these again. Of all these four things here, the heart, the soul, the strength, and the mind. I mean, just being you yourself. Love thy neighbor as thyself, of course. But all these four things, no man on earth, no Christian on earth ever loved God totally with their mind. Amen? Yeah. Because love God with all your mind. Yeah? Yep. We can love God with all our strength. We put our energy in the Word of God, into the service of the Lord. But when it comes to the mind, this is a battlefield, and that's the problem. We will not be able to. But, as the Red Indian chief story, and I think it's very, very true. Every day, we will get up till we sleep. Depends on how strong you are spiritually. Throughout the day, you may not have a battle. Right? You are growing. Because I grew up in Christ young. 60 years now. I see my journey many times. There's a whole lot of up and a whole lot of down. Because there's always this struggle, this black dog and a white dog fighting. And it's true. So what the Red Indian chief said, if I feed the black dog wins. If I feed the white dog wins. So as a Christian, there's always this struggle. We'll never be able to love God fully, completely with our mind, without all this struggle. The struggle will be there. So we have to fight. We have to feed the white dog continually. Now, that's how what Jesus said, love the Lord with all thy mind. The black dog comes in, we've got to kick it out and try to feed the white dog. Do you see? So, focus on fighting against the evil one and keep on feeding the white dog. I'm thankful that when Jesus came, you know, when he comes back, he's not going to judge you and me. Because by which time when he comes back for us, we should be perfect. Because judgment right now begins in the house of the Lord. Remember? That's why, you know, if judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and we are scarcely saved, what about the ungodly? No. Yeah. I'm just thinking about the privilege being a child of God right now. The God of Christ is dealing with us, judging us, you know, filled with grace and mercy as He chastises us and guides us, lest we be bastards. And stand to be judged as ungodly people. You know. So because when Christ returns, He will judge us at the judgment seat of Christ, His judgment seat. We will be judged according to our reward that we will receive. Because judgment already finished. Judgment begins in the house right now. Once judgment is over, when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, not to judge for our sin, is to be judged for our reward, our faithfulness, and get what is due to us. You see. Yeah, I remember talking to some people a long time ago and said, oh, it doesn't matter, as long as I judge and I get a crown of life, that's all I care. So what he's trying to say to me is, well, you know, I don't have to do this so much for God, do so much for God. I know I'm a Christian and crown of life is waiting for me. And that's what they think. You know, and that's a very wrong way of thinking. Alright. The other thing about finally, let me finish off with this mind before I go to the next part of it to deal with the meditation on the mind. If we don't let the Holy Ghost, or we don't let the Holy Spirit, what we call tempered with our mind, anytime he wants to, the when and the where and the how he tempered us, then I don't think we can be transform, you know, to the image of Christ. Because we are being transformed, you know, we are being changed from glory to glory unto the image of Christ. Is that right? So, if we don't want the Holy Spirit to temper us, to mold us, to shape us, when and where and how, in whichever way he wants to, then we will never have it. We will never come to the place of perfection in Christ Jesus. For sure. Right. So until we can think spiritually correctly, then we can never act properly, correctly as a Christian, living our life as a child of God. You know, I said this, which then is very true. Because this mind is like this. We don't want, as I said, we sort of shut ourselves up. It's a off-limit sort of things in our life, in many people's life. So, if we don't think correctly, I just remember there was this, as I said last week, this email that came to me, you know, where he sent me all these booklets and quotes of Brother Branham, and remember what he said about the shout, the voice, and the trump, you know, and then about the little book, where he was trying to interpret Brother Branham. And saying, oh, he got the revelation, you know, he said, okay, the type and shadow was in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel was out there in the wilderness, the tabernacle of Moses, and you have the people out there blowing the trumpet, shouting, there's a shout, you know, they rejoice, blah, blah, blah. And then the voice of God, the voice of the archangel is in the what we call the sanctuary. Alright, you know, the tabernacle of God has this tent, right? Where the priest minister said, that's where the voice of God come from there. You see? but it just kind of odd because when he used the word shout and the trump as being the trumpet outside, and people are rejoicing, the voice of the archangel coming from the sanctuary. And then last year was a little book. And he said, of course, the little book that John Eat was the book and the message or the tips of Brother Branham. Now, if this man's mind is correctly in tune with the Word of God, remember our mind is all based upon the Word of God. It's not to do with the words of Brother Branham or this word or that word. It's the Word of God, the very revelation. You cannot take the word of Brother Branham, a quote of Brother Branham, and then give it some kind of interpretation of your own. Something is wrong up here in the mind. There's no way. I wonder what this man. Well, it seems that he was not willing to let the Holy Spirit temper him, mold him, and shape his thinking. You know what I'm saying? You see? There are many people who say, yeah, I've been in the fivefold ministry. Yes. Brother Branham says so. Yes, there are fivefold ministry. But when it comes to the fact of what the fivefold ministry is, He had already made up his mind what the fivefold ministry is. Because I have spoken to a few, you know, American preachers. You know, one of them told me this. The fivefold ministry, brother God, is this. The apostle, probably very pastor and teacher. What they are supposed to do is to take the words or the tapes or message book of Brother Branham and then teach it to the people. And I ask him, is that what the Bible tells you? Or is it what you think it is? That the fivefold ministry is to take the message of Brother Branham and break it out to the people? Say, yes! You know? Because that's only one message. There's a vindicated message of God. So that's what you should do. And then I said, what is an apostle? What is an evangelist? Are you a teacher can take the word of Brother Branham teaching you? Yeah, I understand. What about this other ministry? What are they supposed to do? They're all five different things. They all have five different ministries. If everyone will take the word of Brother Branham and preach it, what Brother Branham said, you don't need a fivefold ministry. But you know, the mind is just your old opinion. And I don't know why this minister is still around or not, because many of them has already gone off rejecting the end time message. Many of them, many are personally met. They challenge me, they talk with me, they're so sure what they believe in. Right. And then there will have this brother over there in America too. You know, who said the little book. No, I thought it was this one who sent me all this quote, said the little book is Brother Branham's tapes and messages. But this one I know well, what he believed. That the little book is the epistle of Paul. The 13th epistle of Paul. I said, how do you arrive at it? So, brother, because we are Gentiles. And Paul was a messenger, an apostle, sent to the Gentiles. You see, he quoted the Bible and he said, where Paul said that, as Peter was unto the Jew, he got the gospel and sent it to give it to the Jew. I was sent of God to the Gentiles. So, as Gentiles, we are a Gentile church. Therefore, the little book that we should eat is the Apostles' 13th Epistle. And so, how many foundations are there in Holy City, New Jerusalem? He think for a while, he said, there are 12. I said, okay then. Then what did you have? Paul. He said, Paul is one born out of due season. Now, one of the problems we have here is that we deal with the word of God, as I said in the last series, about here little, there little. You know, when Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ, he went and hanged himself. So how many left? 11. Right? So, after the ascension of Christ, before Pentecost came, they gathered together and says, Peter said, well, you know, somebody must replace the position of Judas. So, they have two of them, Barnabas and Matthias. Two of them are very able. They have been with Christ too. I mean, they are not just 12 disciples that have been with Christ. They are actually more than that. There are many of them that walk with Christ. You know. But the 12 was a circle. So one of them left. And when, as the son of perdition, went to his place. So somebody must take the place of Judas to make it 12. Because Jewish tradition, they're very particular about numbers too, just like Chinese people. Fat. It sort of thing. You know what I mean? I don't know about you, Indian. What's an Indian favorite number? I don't know. Right. Okay. The jewel they have, seven favorite numbers. So 12 is a number of organization. Perfect organization, they must always have 12. So 1 out of 12 is 11. 11 is 4 short of 12. So 11 is not a good number. So they cast lot and brought in Matthias. So the Bible said Matthias was then added into the 11. You know, but become part of and of the 11, joined to the 11. So now, what we have here, okay, good. So they are all together 12 now. So later on, Paul came in. One part of his system was ordained by Christ to bring the gospel. But the Jew rejected his version of the gospel because he's going deeper, right, and higher than what they have. What the 12 have? Well, it's just basic. And the problem is that Peter, being the big fisherman, was still very traditional. I said this to be true, because you study the Bible, you can look at how it was written and recorded. There were all those who walked with Christ, they became very traditional. This, I saw Jesus in the flesh, you know, we walked with him, this is what we say, this and that. And just because Jesus Christ did not say anything more, remember Jesus Christ told them, there are many things I want to tell you, I can't tell you now, because you cannot absorb it. Correct? You see, but when the Holy Spirit is come, then he will guide you and lead you into all truth, right? And show you things to come. So that's why, you know, Peter was still in that traditional thing, and the laws, and the festivals. And, no, that's no problem about it. But sort of, they put a door, and they cannot move forward. They put a barrier before them, and they cannot move forward. So God sent Paul to the Gentiles. It's the same gospel, not two gospel. You know, but this brother, this preacher in America, was a two basket. Two different gospel. One, the gospel of Peter to the Jew, and the other, the gospel of Paul to the Gentiles. So you see, Paul became the 13th apostle. Yes, we can call him the 13th apostle. Therefore, where is the foundation, Brother Gann? It's inside the Holy City, New Jerusalem. I say, where? Remember, the Holy City, New Jerusalem have 12 foundations. And the Bible tells us where they are laid. Right? Along the wall and corner of the building. You see? Can you picture that? Four square means, you know, square. Four corners, you've got four foundations. Right. And then one in between all those, or two in between all those, you want to say. So how many you got? You've got 12. And sandwiched between each foundation is the gate, also 12. So what is the 13th foundation? He says, it's inside. So where is inside? Inside where? I don't know. You see, they have to bring this, he has to bring this in. And therefore, he said, the little book is the book of Paul, 13 or 14 epistle, including Hebrew. So then, what about the rest of the epistle? The Peter epistle, John's epistle. Right? Are we not supposed to take that? What about the last book of the Bible, Revelation? Paul didn't even have everything. So you see, I was just wondering how to mind it. A person could. Well, that's what I'm saying. You get a seed word. You know, you read something and say, oh, that's it, I got it. Now you play with this seed in your mind. Like in America, this man was in New York City. I think he passed away already. A couple of years back. What is the thunder? Seven thunders. What, I don't know what he read and how he read it. Then he suddenly come up with the thought with the seed word. Ah, the seven thunders. He read it in the book of James. Oh, they're the seven virtues. Seven thunders, seven virtues. You see exactly. What is it? My faith thunders forth. My brotherly kindness thunders forth. My patience thunders forth. So they must have, he said, unless we have this virtue thunders forth from our life, we cannot be in the right. But is that what it is? And people in the church, yeah, amen, hallelujah, and they think that is it, that is the truth. There's a whole lot of emotion. Yeah, when did people come up with this? I remember recently, with this COVID virus going on, and news about Bill Gates. So, because Antichrist, somebody started putting out there on the video. Because he's going to put a chip into your hand through this vaccine, blah, blah, blah. So he's the Antichrist. How are Christians come up with something like this and go run wild with it? Huh. Also common, you know, it's all studied in America, so this minister of Circles, Brother Branham. The seven seals of the seven thunders. How did he get that? Brother Branham said so. Oh, the program said really like that? Or they take the one statement or some places of phrase and insinuate that Brother Abraham said that. Alright, so we always need to, when we come to the Word of God, we need to watch the pattern. Alright, that's what I said about this in the Bible, and Paul said, after Christ ascended to heaven, he gave gifts unto men. First the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now he has to be in that order. You cannot change the order. So they say the fivefold ministry is to take Brother Abraham's word and preach it. It means everyone can be an apostle, everyone can be anything they want to. But that's not what it is, because there are specific ministry. I said this many times. Right? You see. Now, when you come into this Word of God, we are looking at it first when we read it, our mind is getting the information, then we meditate on these things. Let us go to Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Alright, the word I speak, Jesus said, their spirit may have life. So the same thing with every one of us. The word we speak, not like what Jesus said. The word he speak, they are spirit and they are life. But for many of us, sometimes we can actually speak the word and give life. Right? But we can also speak word that can brought death. Do you understand? Which is very true. Now even Jesus said, even though he said, the word they speak, their spirit and their life. But yet Jesus said, I send my word into a home. What does it do? You separate a father from the son, mother from a daughter. Correct? Because the word of God is double-edged. Two sides are sharp. One cut is separate the two. Right? Another cut is to say either you go death side or you go to the life side. So when you cut this way, one side goes to death or goes to life. So a double-edged sword slices both ways, life and death. Yeah, Jesus says, but Jesus intended to give us life. And even though he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, you know, he that believes in me shall not see death but have eternal life and so on. So that's to say that if you don't believe in me, you will see death. You get the point, right, huh? So, but the main point that he's focusing on is to give people life. You reject the word, of course, no other choice. It goes to the other direction, to the other side. So, when we come to that, he says, let my mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So whatever I'm going to speak, whatever I meditate throughout the day. And sometimes it is true that sometimes we don't think before we speak. Our tongue runs faster than our thought. Even we don't even meditate. Some people say, think before you speak. But some people don't even think. Just normally, the word comes out. You know. So, hearing this thing is be slow to speak. We have full of ears to hear and meditate. Because in full meditation, we meditate often about life. Yeah, sometimes, you know, when I read the news, watch documentary about all the events, and especially, you know, I look in documentary or movies about true drama about what happened in the past, in the World War, you know, how people die, innocent people die, and they show footage of people just dying, you know, and you see the Jew in the Holocaust, how they ski and things like that, and how the children were dragged and put in the gas chamber. You know, my mind started to go through, and there is such, all of a sudden, I feel the hatred, first, you know what I mean, there's so many hatred against, not because of the German, you just, the wickedness, how wicked they can be, you know what I mean? They're so wicked. How? And I'm just saying, the son of hatred come upon me and says, and you feel that sometimes I say, these men of us do that. If I am God, if I got power, I'll deal with it immediately. You know? That's why I thank God that we don't have the power. People that watch all these super movies, Marvel comics, and what, Iron Man and Superman, and wow. You know, and they could do only the superhero of the world, save the world. But I'm glad this thing don't happen. Because if it does, I can tell you, if any power like this is not going to be for good. You know, sure, it will not be for good. It was always a story. What did it say? I don't know who, where the statement come up. With what comes great responsibility. With what? With great power comes great responsibility. And that is true, like Donald Trump as a president, with great power in the position he is, it comes great responsibility. So with any leaders of the world. But the question is, the thing is that human being, not many people know how to control your feeling. You know, many people don't know how to control the feeling. That's the same thing with the disciple of Jesus. When they went out with Jesus, you know, and how that Jesus went with them, these people refused to accept the gospel. They said, okay, let's just throw our feet, the dust away, and walk away. And the disciple said, why don't you call fire down from heaven? And Jesus goes, you don't know what you're speaking. You know what I'm saying? You see, the problem is this. We want people to realize something good that we know, but when they don't, we get very upset. Oh. So we think, I think about it and says, oh my. I see the world in all this big problem. People are suffering, people are dying, killing, fighting. I said, what God don't do something about it? Why just don't stop it? Why can't you just stop this whole thing? You know, the Father in heaven is watching. He doesn't know. Don't tell me he doesn't know what's going on. Here, he looked down from heaven. He sees New York City, a young girl being, you know, seduced and taken away to a room. And he watched the pedophile and how he raped the young girl. God doesn't know. God knows. That's why my colleague in the hospital where I work said, if God is real, then why doesn't he stop all this? He said, that's what the plan and the purpose of God. He works the way he wants to. Do you understand what I'm saying? He works the way he wants to. You know, I wrote this book called The Tabernacle of God, if you remember reading it. How did he come to writing that message so many years ago? It was when I read this book of the Psalms of what King David was saying. We'll come to that later. And I said, wow. You see, just to read that one chapter, I said, oh, now I can have a message. And I preached on it, I taught on it. Well, let us go to it. Psalms chapter 19. You see this chapter, just verse 1 to verse 6. Look at it. Zohar, can you read it? 1 to 6.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Today unto the day utters speech, and the night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line is gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, and rejoiced as a strong man to run a race. He's going forth this from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
Right. You see, the first time when I read this, and I meditated on it, I said, oh. You see, we talk about the plan and purpose of God. What is this whole universe? I mean, it's huge. Can you hear? King David says, the whole heaven declares the glory of God. These people said there's no God. But you just look into this whole universe, this earth and the skies, and in the night time you watch the firmament out there and the stars, huh? Wow, it says here, declares the glory of God. The firmament declares his handiwork. He says here, day unto day utter speech, night unto night show forth knowledge. That is to say, from day to day, all those creation, all that handiwork, speak. They uttered the word of God. At night time you ponder, you look at the sky and the Milky Way. Hey, that's your knowledge. You look at how vast the universe is. And what else it says? There's no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. That's right. You look at it, it tell you your story. Right? They speak. If you look at the flower, does the flower speak to you? Some people say, no, the flower doesn't speak. Oh, we say, oh, come on. Don't be like, don't think that you're a Dr. Doolittle. You can talk to the animal. Oh, yeah, the animal talks. You know the animal talks, don't you? If you have dogs, you will know how the dogs, you know, they look at you and say, let's go for a walk. Oh, you look at it. Next moment, he probably run and get the leash. Isn't it? Yeah, they talk. I was watching a video in America. They just, especially the black people, they train pigeons to do somersault. How do you do that? I couldn't believe it. They train pigeon. They have it in the pigeon hut. Open it up. He whistles. All these pigeons will flying up all into the sky in a circle, and then they will do somersault. What? Do somersault. And not just one. They train them that do somersault in pairs. I said, how did they do that? What is the singer? What is the language? They don't talk, they talk. The star talks. Right? The moon, they talk. The plant, they talk. All the animal creature in the earth, they talk to you that they are part of the creation of God. When I look into this, I say, wow. You see, and you say here, the line is gone through all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. It means all that which they uttered, reflecting, goes through throughout the whole universe and the earth. And he further says this, In them have you set a tabernacle for the sun. In this whole universe, this is a canopy. And indeed, there is this sun. God is talking about our sun, not about the stars out there. Yeah, people say our sun is a star. I know that. But the star out there are different from the sun that we have. Scientists may tell you otherwise, this and that. I'm not interested. The sun. King David about the sun. The whole of this kind of universe. You have the sun right there, right? And it is a tabernacle for the sun. That's why my mind goes straight to what God did on earth in the days of Moses. He let them have that tabernacle. Remember? To build a tabernacle. And who is inside there? The Shekinah glory. What is Shekinah glory? It's the Son of God. So this whole universe was created upon the Son of God. Right. It declared the glory of God, but it was created by God for the Son. S-O-N. And like as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. That's right. See, look at me. I am the Son. Look at me. And rejoiced as a strong man to run the race. And he came down to earth to run the race, to take man, to redeem mankind. And he circuit unto the end of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Everywhere Jesus moves, everywhere the life goes, everywhere the Son of God goes, everybody feels the heat. Everybody feels the life. They talk about meditation. Hear them. Just that alone. It's always the pattern. That's why I said, when you talk about the 5 minutes, that you talk about the pattern. If you want to know how to look in the Bible and look at it properly, be sure you know what it is. Because the mind is also where the meditation is. Some time ago, a few years back, 10 years or so back, when I was looking into the YouTube, you know, about witches and stuff like that, Wiccans, and then you always have all kinds of video put up there, and I can't remember who this preacher was, he said that, you know, he was preaching something about witchcraft and Wiccans, and the bottom there was a link really respond to this video. So I click on it, it went out there, and it's a Wiccan that testify how that she became a Christian. And there was another link on the site, and I said, oh, okay, this one is, I want to see what you have to say. So I click on it. You can go home if you want to and go and YouTube search for this man. His name is Bobby Connan. Bobby Connan, a preacher, a charismatic preacher. So I was interested in what he had to say about Wiccans. So I cling on in his video, he was preaching a mass of people. And he said about this, he said that, so one day when he was preaching, and there was this man, he was a Wiccan, or someone who wanted to challenge him. I can't remember the first part, but he was trying to say something to this preacher, the Bobby Connor. And he put his hand up to tell him not to speak. When he pulled up his hand, he said, he fought backwards, he sort of moved backwards. Because what happened was the blue light come up from his hand. Wow, sounds like Iron Man. You know what I'm saying? Then he said there was another side. There was this group of ladies. He said, I recognize them as Wiccan. Witches. And they were saying something and they want to raise something. So I put my hand up again. And blue light come up from my hand again. And this woman fought backward and leaned against the wall and she started moving up the wall. I said, really? Then the comment, you should go and look at it, a lot of comment. First remember, many of them are vulgar against this preacher for talking rubbish. Now the problem is, the charismatic people are like this. And I saw always since the time I knew the charismatic came to Singapore, I realized how dangerous this radical movement is. They will tell all sorts of story, baloney, all kinds they're trying to sell to the people. And we have a lot of gullible people who call themselves Christian. They believe in these things. So I think in a comment somebody said, why don't you take a video and show the blue light? You know? Yeah. You see, that's what we have today. What is the man? How did this man arrive at it that he will preach things like that? Here. I have a printout, something from the internet. If this Bobby Conn speaks like this, and he has a lot of followers. So back then, I remember back then in the 1780s, how many of you know Oral Roberts? Yeah, many of you don't know Oral Roberts. Well, unless you are Pentecostal people, you know him. You see, there's a picture of Brother Branham with some ministers standing together, and Oral Roberts standing there. Oral Roberts is the tallest of them. You see, what happened was this. Back then, you know, Oral Roberts passed away, I think, a couple of years back. But let me read to you here from this printout from Christianity Today. Okay, this was printed in, this was, well, I just printed yesterday. The article has been there for quite some time, I guess. Oh, yes, 2009. Fundraising. Did Oral Roberts go too far? Okay. Now, Oral Roberts, first of all, you must know his ministry. I have some of his book. But sort of in the beginning, like many people, like A.A. Allen, in the beginning, oh, fantastic miracles that they have. They really do good. But they get part of them all, just under stress, like A.A. Allen. He died at the age of 56 or 59 years old. What happened to him? He died of liver cirrhosis, liver failure, because he drinks a lot. And his assistant, when he died in a hotel, his assistant tried to cover it up. But sad, this is what happened. People push themselves to be the big guy, big man. Then, what is on their mind, I said many times, why can't the minister of God be simple? My brother Branham, people want to give him a car, new car. He says, what's wrong with my old station wagon? It's still working. And I was told that somebody sent him, give him a check, $1 million. He said, no, I don't need the money. You know? Yeah, that's a lot of things. And when he was young, you know, he was saving money to buy a car, you know, and so he got a nice second-hand car. I think when he looked at news and somebody, Andy Branham, people have to discredit him. That, oh, he's rich. Who say he's poor? But here, he's all but he has some good ministry. But it came time when he's started to do a thing that is not. And he is called the grandfather. Oh, no, not grandfather. The godfather of the charismatic movement. Brother Branham is called the father or the leader of the deliverance movement. Alright? And there are many characters, they all give us a certain nickname because what they are. So now this one is fundraising. Did Oral Roberts go too far? The television evangelist links receiving $8 million to the extension of his earthly life. Okay, let me read it to you. This article was originally published in the February 20th, 1987 issue of Christianity Today. Talks about heaven are not new to Oral Roberts. In 1975, the Tulsa, Oklahoma, all right, that's where he lives, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Tulsa evangelist told a chapel audience at Oral Roberts University, O-R-U, Oral Roberts University, that he had asked God to take him, but God did not answer. This time, according to Roberts, God is taking the initiative. Roberts has stated in a fundraising appeal letter and on television that unless he raises a total of $8 million above regular ministry expenses by next month, he would die. When I read in the article, because I was following Pentecostal movement, charisma, see what they have to say in all this magazine, I says, wow, really? Okay, now that's what he said. Quote, "I desperately need you to come into agreement with me concerning my life being extended beyond much," state a fundraising letter signed by Roberts. He said, "God said, I want you to use the ORU Medical School to put my God, mine, that is, mine means God is saying, put my medical presence in the earth. I want you to get this going in 1 year or I will call you home." Robert says he's received this message last month, March. So notice what Robert was saying to God, Sonny, you better raise up $8 million or I will call you home. The evangelist likened his situation to the Apostle Paul, who in the New Testament book of Philippians spoke of his desire to depart and be with Christ, but also of his responsibility to abide with you in the flesh. According to Robert's letter, quote, "When it looked like Paul would go on to heaven, his partner flooded him with the necessary money, and each one giving to God's servant out of their own need." But what did that happen? I don't read that in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? You see, people who follow great men like all these charismatic preachers, they know next to nothing about the Bible. They usually don't read the Bible. Only when they hear this man preach, they come to this verse, one or two, really, that's it, end it. And they were sensational preaching 30 minutes, the word of God, and then the rest of the 30 minutes after appealing for money. Now, Robert is a very big ministry. He built a university, medical center. And here he said that God wanted him to build this big medical center and then also to put, God said to him, "I want you to see that ORU medical school to put my medical presence on the earth." Oh, wow. And even he said later on that God tell him, "Oh, Robert, find a cancer cure." What? God's business to tell his servant to find a cancer cure? To build a medical school for his presence, for God's presence to be on earth. Hey, where is God's presence? In Jerusalem? In the temple in Jerusalem? What is God's presence? Yes. Oh, they want to have a place where people can go do pilgrimage. And here's what he said. A follow-up letter signed by Robert's son, Richard, affirms that without the money needed to send out missionary healing teams, quote, "God will not extend Dad's life." Orr and Richard Roberts make similar statements on their weekly program, television program. A public outcry led several television stations to drop program containing the controversial appeal. Those who have followed Robert's ministry say his recent announcement does not differ greatly from previous claims, such as his vision of and his conversation with a 900-foot-tall Jesus a few years ago. I claim to have a lot of this vision a lot of times. You see, many times I meditate, what is going on in the mind of these people? What do they meditate on? It's not a sudden impulse. Remember one thing? This is not a sudden impulsive reaction to some kind of state. This is something that he must be, that he may have meditated upon. Yeah. It's just like, who's this Benny Hinn and Pat Robertson and all these many others? Fire! You know Holy Laughter? In Toronto back in the 70s, I think. I don't know how somebody started it. You know, sometimes a lot of things that we have a lot of comedian preachers, you know. And there's a lot of planning. Just I remember you have watched a video of James Randi, how they expose some of these television evangelists, how they try to imitate Brother Branham. They use hidden microphone, receiver, and tell, oh, you have this lady, you have this suffering from this. Remember to Israel? But he was his wife behind, and Randi, the skeptic, you know, he doesn't believe. He realized this is some trick. He exposed some of these guys. After that, this guy was exposed. They went and lay low for some years, and they appeared in another city, and people still followed them. Holy Laughter is just like, remember, people being slain by the Holy Spirit, as they call it, Pentecostal. Huh? You look at Benny Hinn, woof, people start falling down. Not even a touch. Woof, people start falling. Oh, the audience. Everybody have to behave like the others beside them, or else they are not believers. I remember when I was Pentecost in AOG, my friend, you know who I'm talking about. When I brought him to Christ, we were there in the church. Then, you know, the people were talking, we all talk about getting the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongue. Come on, let loose your tongue. Come on, praise the Lord, let loose your tongue, you know. Yup. I don't have that let loose my tongue because I experienced the real thing. But I've seen a lot of people were told to let loose your tongue, la la, and this. So later, la 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 la, something, all thing comes out. So here was my friend. He tried to say, "What must I go? La la la, let loose my tongue." He said, "I la 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 la," but nothing happened. Okay. After a few times, you know, whenever there is a prayer coming out, so one day he went out. So I was standing beside him. So then the preacher said, "When you receive the Holy Ghost, you know, lift up your hand and just praise the Lord." So what, he lifted up his hand. Next morning he goes, "Wah!" He fell backwards. And I was behind him and I hold him, or else he literally fell backwards. Later on, after it's over, service over, and I said, "Do you know what happened to you?" He said, "What happened to me?" I said, "You don't realize that you're falling backwards?" "No, I don't." You know, remember Brother Henry? When I baptized him, he was just, oh, he was falling. I didn't notice that. That's why I dunked him, say he was swallowing water. You see, sometimes you just feel the joy coming in, the Holy Spirit will hit you. Just like that. You know what I mean? You don't have to go laugh and speak la 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 and do all kinds of things, roll on the floor as if you're real. There are a lot of times people roll on the floor, they are not real. They are just emotional. I have seen so many. You know. Wow. So, this meditation, you see, the mind, we need, because we talk about meditation. Because in meditation, there is a lot of emotion coming out. So because we're talking about the mind, we're talking about matter, we're talking about motive, because this is all connected. So I wonder how many times has had this man or Robert Danny Hinn or this sit down and start to plan something. I wonder whether it's just holy laughter and thought there was something that was planned. The preacher might have been having a group of people, say, okay, sit this here and there. So I would preach this, I'm going to give the signal, Stop laughing. There are people that do that, why? Because it is business, it's money. And there was one preacher said that, well, you know what? You don't have to come up for prayer for your sickness, for your child. Just put your money where my ministry is and go and heal your child. This is not new. This has always been. Because my ministry, he will say, is a ministry of God. It's powerful. You believe it? Put your money in it. And God will bless you. God will heal your sick. And God have mercy. There's still a lot of this preacher out there doing the very same thing that I've been doing. And a meditation to do all these things, they lie to the people. Lie after lie, lie after lie. And even this Bobby Conan, if you look at some of the video, he was actually joking away. That's not real, just joking away. In closing, let me say this. We have an entire message here. The people are just almost doing the same. They may not have ministry like the Pentecostal preacher or the charismatic preacher. But I'm talking about the faith. You just imagine. I'm not sure if I have told you this last Sunday. We have this message, the entire message. That is precious to us. But I always say this, God is always moving. You cannot build four walls and a roof and try to contain God's word. You know what I mean? You can't. Because God's word is like a sun. Like the sun. Radiating out, right? The heat. To the circuit around the whole universe and back. Round to the earth and back to Him. You cannot block out the sun. You cannot contain the sun. And every word that goes out will not return to Him void. It must accomplish its purpose. So what happened? An anti-message. If you want to contain this anti-message, like many Mennonites are doing, and it's still out there, so many of them. And many of them, the preacher have lied to the people. Because why? They want to hold them. And they want to get some kind of a relationship with the big churches up there in America, Canada, Europe. Many of them, as the Bible said, be sure your sin will find you out. And their sins have been found out. You cannot lie without God not exposing you. You understand? So we have this. Yep, we believe the message. Good. But you see, the people have been taught very wrongly. Imagine Paul. Remember he went to the place called Berea. And he found his group of disciples, right? And he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? He says, no, we don't know what that is. So Paul expounded to them about what John's gospel was about, what his baptism was for, concerning what John the Baptist was preaching. He was pointing to the Messiah that was to come, and so on and so on. These people who heard it, they believe it. Right? Assuming that Paul is here today, of course the people will not know who Paul looks like. But if we were to go after a group of Branhamites and told them The message of Brother Branham is just to call you out of the system and back into the Word. And when you are getting into the Word, then the fivefold ministry will stabilize you, right? And bring you to perfection. Go on, perfection. What would they say to Paul? Think about it, because back in the day when Paul met this Berea, they did not say, hey, wait a minute, Paul. We are believers of John the Baptist. He was a messenger of God. He was the forerunner of Christ. And all that he said was, thus said the Lord. We believe it, and that's it. What do you think happened to them? You see, these people, as Paul said, they are wise. They checked the scripture and see if those things were true. They did not say to Paul, whoa, wait a minute, John the Baptist is our prophet. All that he said, that's all, that's enough for us. It's all there, it's all there, it's all there. But we have a lot of foolish believers in the end time message. And they're continuing to be foolish, as the Bible said in Matthew 25, the foolish virgin. The lights are gone out, and they never make it in to the marriage supper. That's right. Because they are not even in the marriage at all. So they cannot get ready. Just think about it. So when you talk about revelation, we talk about the mind, the thing that you read in the Bible. Just I remember the time when I first, you know, read and studied about Jesus Christ, you know, when he was walking in Jerusalem. And knowing that I love typology, knowing that what I see in the tabernacle of Moses. And I say, hey, wait a minute. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he was there talking to people, the temple was there. There cannot be an ark in there. And there are people who said, yeah, the ark is in there, and there has been, you know, they found the ark, so and so, so. But the ark cannot be in there, because the ark was destroyed during the raid by Nebuchadnezzar, who came down. And I said this to myself, there cannot be two ark at the same time. Because one was physical, reflecting the one that is spiritual, that is literal. So in the holy place, most holy place, in the temple in Jerusalem when Jesus was there, there is no ark of the covenant. There was no ark of the covenant inside there. None. Later I do a research and found that according to archaeologists and whatever was written, what she said, there was just a table with a scroll of Isaiah. Because the ark was never found. You know. And the ark was believed to be taken by Nebuchadnezzar. I think there was some kind of drawing, a sculpture that was there. In their drawing, in their ancient, you know, arts. So that was, I was thinking, yeah, that's true. There cannot be two arcs. Because the ark represents what? What's inside the ark? The portamana, the two tablets of the Lord of God, the rod of Aaron, the burden. Represents life. Food, the manna. Okay? The law, the word of God that guides the people, and the rod, the bud, shows the life. It's there in the ark of the covenant. But since Jesus was on earth, there cannot be that out there. Right? Because he was the ark of the covenant. He was the manna that come from heaven. Remember he said that? Right. He said, I'm come not to destroy, but I've come to fulfill it. Is that right? He's the lawgiver. Okay? And he's the rod, the bud, because he's the light, the stem out of Jesse. You see? So all that was fulfilled in walking down, that's right. So that's the reason why people don't see the ark of the covenant walking on 2 feet. They were thinking only out there in that tabernacle or in the temple inside that. No. So when the more that you meditate your mind, take the word of God, start meditating. And you start to see the pattern of God. The plan and the purpose of God. God has His plan, but it will come to fulfillment. We don't have to worry. People say, oh, there are so many people dying, so many million people dying. Yes, I know. Because the Bible says, God says, I create both good and evil. You know, and because you say, oh, there's so much evil in the world today, that you say, there's no God, you don't believe in God. Well, that shows that you don't want to believe. That shows that you are not in the truth. That shows that you are not a seed of God to begin with by your own confession. That is true, isn't it? For the deep, call out to the deep. As God would want to, you know, show forth His power, show forth His grace, and His plan where we, as a people, already foreordained of God, chosen of God before the foundation of the world. And that's why Jesus came to seek that which was lost. Right? I was lost, but now I'm found. Those who say, I don't need God, I don't believe in God, there's no such thing as God, they are never lost. So if they are never lost, why would they be found? They will continue to be lost in this world of darkness. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, for your love, for your word. Bless, O Father, what has been spoken, and take it, Father, further. Break it down to the hearts of your people. In all this that we learn, Father, the mind and what we put in and what we meditate. As a seed, Lord, when it's planted, sowed, it will grow. And when it grows, Father, Lord, it must bring forth fruit. Yes, Lord. So whatever we meditate or whatever we sow, whatever information we get from your word or from the world, and how that we meditate on it, and how we sow it, Father, it will reap a result. And I pray, Father, that the word that we meditate on will grant us, Father, to see your plan and your purpose, the beauty of your love for us, the beauty that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father. Fill our hearts, Lord. Fill our hearts with thy word. Before we know that it can go in, that we know it comes to the mind when we read it. But let us quickly bring it down to the heart and let us meditate. Not with the mind, but with the heart. Father, we pray that you bless today now. Asking you in Jesus' name.